the poor kids. You know, I can't help myself, but now the bus company has forgotten them. So they've been waiting there for an hour, and only these few children are here. It just really upsets me. But anyway, so just pray for this bus company to wake up, because I'm going to have to tell them to wake up. Apparently they don't know with what they're playing here. It's people's lives. Anyway, and the youth are so important nowadays. I just want to continue on what I shared last week. And it's wonderful to be in God's presence, and it's wonderful. I just want to thank the worship team for the great job they're doing. Heidi and I were speaking about it yesterday, but if you just look at the worship team's almost history for the past year and a half, I've realized that was the area that the devil attacked the most. You know, I must tell you, he's got all kinds of plans on how to attack wherever it's needed, and he really, I think, took it apart a little bit. But praise God, just thank you for everyone that kept standing there and from glory to glory. Amen. Amen. So it's blessed. Last week I shared on the desire to prophesy, and I'm going to just continue on that today because there were too much to say last week. And once again, what I wanted to achieve there is not when one hears the word prophecy, you think of these weird people, and we all become scared and we think, I can't prophesy, it's for those people that fast and pray constantly or hear God's voice constantly. No, prophecy is something that God wants us to desire. Amen? Because whatever God tells us to desire is something that He wants to bless us with. Okay, so let me just look at this. We had this definition of prophecy, and I'm just going to go through that in one scripture, and then we'll go on. But prophecy, you know, in 1 Corinthians 14, there were 9 spiritual gifts, and prophecy was just one of them. And prophecy was one of the oral gifts, meaning the one that you speak. You can't think of prophecy and prophesy in your head. It's something that you have to say and speak. And it's not what we think up. It's not what we think God is trying to say. It is actually what God is telling us to say. Like it says there on the slide, it is God speaking through us. Amen. And we just mentioned something there which I find so amazing, is that whenever we take the time to pray about somebody else, for instance, in your small group or in your church, it's amazing how committed God is to speak to you about that person. Because, I don't know, we've got like all kinds of, you know, we don't see ourselves always in God's image and what He has created us to be. But it's amazing if we pray for somebody else, God is, He can't wait to tell you how wonderfully and fearfully that person was made. And you know, and we can be the conduit to prophesy into that person's life and set him free. So prophecy is divinely inspired. That means it does not come from what I think it should be, or if I look at somebody and I think, you're going to be a wonderful businessman because you're so good with money or whatever. No, that comes from God's heart, divinely inspired. And it's a supernatural proclamation, and it is a forth-telling. I mean, I think this is where there is a difference between the word of wisdom and knowledge and prophecy, is that it's the forth-telling of God's will. It's not knowledge or wisdom on something, on a situation here and now, but it's about what God wants in future. And the church, I believe, you know, we obviously believe we serve the only real God. Amen. Amen. Isaiah. And it's only our God that can tell us what's going to happen in future. And it's not forth-telling on all these weird, these glass balls, nonsense stuff. That's all demonic, and the devil warns us against that. We are the only entity in this world that can actually foretell God's will. And, amen. Once again, I'm going ahead of myself. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, and this is what I want to just cultivate again today. It says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. So it says, especially desire prophecy. And maybe I'll just say something, but if you have you guys seen what has happened in Haiti? Did I say that last week? I can't remember. Now, we are in a time in this world, if you look at history, where it is critical that God's people start taking up the prophetic and start fulfilling the mandate that He wants us to fulfill. Now, just something that I'd like to share is that if we look at all these natural disasters, what you have the tsunami, then you had earthquakes, I think it was in Pakistan, then you had Hurricane Katrina, and now we've had Haiti, the earthquake, and all those things. So were there things like that happening before this time? Was there earthquakes and tsunamis? There's actually been bigger tsunamis in Chile and all that stuff. But there has been. But what is the difference? So, and I think it's important for us to show this to the world every now and then. Those things have happened, but what is the difference now? See, if you look at waves, I don't know, I just want to share this. That waves, now you don't have to think about sea waves. Any waves, you can have a wave that does this, correct? Now, the distance between the first top of the wave and the second top, that is called the frequency of that wave. So you can have the same wave size and it can be like this. And you can have another wave and it does this. The frequency of the latter one is longer. It doesn't happen that frequent. And if one looks at history, and I haven't done a detailed study or anything like that, but what's happening is the frequency is becoming shorter. The stuff has happened, but look at it. The frequency is like this. And Jesus said, these things will happen. Don't be afraid when it happens. So what I'm trying to say, and I'm not prophesying when Jesus is coming back. The Bible says we can't do that. But we can discern the times. It is end times. I don't think these things are going to stop. And then some people say, but is it God judging the world? No, if God would judge the world, nobody would guess if it is God. Now, lots of people guessing now, is Haiti God or not God? We would know if God comes. Nobody would hesitate that it is God. So God is not even close to really getting involved. If God really needs to sort out earth, it would be scary. Amen. Okay, that has got nothing to do with this sermon, but I wanted to say that. Anyway, this morning I just want to look at, can I call it the results, or why should we prophesy? We did look at that last week and we spoke about the whole speaking to the dry bones and you're speaking life into things, but I just want to look at it a little bit more in detail. The first thing is, or that I'd like to mention it, is prophecies for edification. What is edification? It is that if you've got a son, when he makes a mistake or something, and he's not so happy with life, and he comes back and the homework was difficult or whatever, I'm trying to foresee what's going to happen when I get my child, how I'm going to treat him. But edification would be to say, that's all right. You know, it's not the end of the world. Let's help you. Let's let dad help you with your maths or something. I'll just, you know, let's just get through this. No, that kid that said you're useless and you won't get anywhere, you know, why do you listen to him? Do you know what God says about you? Edification, lifting up people. Amen? And it's important, and if you look at the fivefold ministry, you've got evangelists, prophets, teachers, pastors, apostles. Is that I would say the evangelist type of person and maybe the apostle, but they like, you sometimes need to get a pastor in there, you know, because this evangelist will drive you to the ends of the earth and the whole world must get saved now. Somewhere there must be a pastor that will tell the evangelist, hey, stop, these are people, they're not machines. Just, you know, edify them. It's no use driving people like cattle or whatever. Just edify them every now and then. So it is important that the church gets edification, that you and I get edification, because it's a family, and you can ask any father, by driving his kids, you'll get somewhere, but you'll get a lots of nonsense when he's a teenager. All this stuff will manifest. If you've been driving him to do this, driving him to achieve this, he needs some edification. Amen. That's actually all I wanted to say. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 to 4. Did I read this? No. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. Must be the Amplified. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And you'll see, that is something that we're trying to cultivate. We're trying to encourage people to do. Just like when Sean shared his testimony. It is an attitude, and it's a thing that we must get into church, back into church, that it must be a place of edification. And when Sean shares that he was healed from a headache, it edifies us, you know? And that stuff must happen constantly. And God must speak to us. You know, God can maybe just speak to you. You'll see somebody walking in at the church there. He's looking like he just had a bite of a lemon, you know? And God will say, you know, go and edify them, man. Don't rebuke him and say he must smile or stuff like that. And he must be happy in God's presence and all that stuff. Edify him. You know, pray about it. And say, Lord, what? And you go and say, listen, I just feel God says. And we don't make up stories. We hear what God says and then say, I just feel God says he loves you. You know how many times you can, I've seen that one can actually, you can share the gospel as bluntly and as boldly as you'd like to. If it comes out of love, people take it. If they see your heart and why you're doing this, they take it. They're not offended by what you're trying to tell them. Amen. Edification. So it's individually and corporately. It's for individuals, but it's also just sometimes God would say, you know, this church is blessed. I'm blessed with what you're doing. And if God tells you a word like that, you know, then we share it. Amen. Second one there. Awfully quiet here this morning. I so wish these youth were here, man. I'm so upset, I tell you. They were so awesome. There were like 30 or 40 or 50 of them here on Friday. It's cool, man. And I'd like to share these things with them. That bus driver. Amen. Tested my salvation here this morning. I passed. Conviction and evangelism. Prophecy is there also to convict and to evangelize. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24 and 25. But if all prophesying an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. But if an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, now, the rest of that scripture says, and if somebody prophesies and the word is spot on, it might, you know, it might be for that person. But it says, he's convicted. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so he'll fall on his face and worship God. We can go through 15 foundations. If we don't touch on that area there, people won't change. If somewhere in that foundation series that we're doing, or with a small group thing that we're doing, that person does not see, get somewhere a connection from God saying, oh, wow, God is speaking to me. This stuff will not happen. So it's a nice way of humbling someone, me or whoever. You know, we can have fancy sermons and we've got scriptures coming out of our ears. If that does not come with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, if that thing does not connect someone with where he can see God is here, God is speaking to me, his life will not change. I'm reading this book that Mark gave me, The Cross and a Switchblade. It's about David. I couldn't believe that was in the 1958. That time they had these gangs already in New York. Anyway, this guy deals with these drug addict kids. And the one lady tells him that I'm a mainliner. Mainliner means is where they inject heroin directly into the veins. Oh, everybody's very quiet. Where's the pastor? Where's the pastor going with this? That lady told him, Pastor, not even God can help me. Because if you start doing that stuff, they say it's incredibly difficult to get off that addiction. So now David is working with these people. Doctors can't help. You know, programs don't help. What helps? Now, I haven't finished the book. But he had to come to a place in his life where he had to realize if the Holy Spirit does not do something here, nothing will happen. You know, the deeper somebody is in the pit of sin or wherever in their lives, I'm not needed there. The Holy Spirit and God is needed there. And through prophecy, maybe I can bring that connection with that person so that he can be plucked out of that hole. But I can't do it. So prophecy brings that conviction. Amen. It's when that we speak into God, into somebody's life, and that thing happens there, connected with the Holy Spirit. And apparently that's the only thing that helped for these kids to get off that heroin, was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says we will be a new creation. It is literally what happens to us. That old stuff must get out. Amen. And our society is so desensitized to God nowadays. They've heard, and especially in our country, man, you can go to anybody and anywhere and talk about God. I've heard this story like 20 times, man. I know about Jesus and he died. I don't actually know why. So that little message that I share with them, God has died for you, it makes no difference to their lives. But accompanied by that connection with the Holy Spirit, through prophecy or whatever, does miracles. And that is what we need nowadays. The Bible also says in the latter days, you know, basically it comes down to those that are bad will become worse and those that are good will become better. So we're going to start dealing with people that are, in terms of sin, bad. But Jesus died for those bad people. And I'm not going to be able, with my maneuvers and 10 ways to get somebody saved, get him from this bad state there. He needs to be taken by the Holy Spirit to this place. Amen. And that's great, because our programs won't get people saved. The Holy Spirit will get people saved. Conviction and evangelism. Are you with me? Amen. You'll have to go and tell the kids there at Triple S. Will you tell them this, please? Because they're not here. I'm going to preach this to the bus driver as well, so that he can understand why they should have been here. They asked us on the website, the shofar website, what do you hate about yourself? I said, my short fuse. So I still hate that about myself. Yes, amen. Prophesy for me. Prophesy something. A longer fuse, in Jesus' name. Okay. Then also prophecy has the authority to release and bind. Joshua 6 verse 26, it says, then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. And then it says in 1 Kings 16 verse 34, in his days, Hill of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram the firstborn, and with the youngest son of Zegub, he set up his gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. Now the important thing to realize here is the difference in time between this scripture, Kings and Joshua, is 500 years, if I'm not mistaken. But what Joshua prophesied stood for 500 years. He bound that thing, what he said he would do there. What will happen there? And we've got the same authority that God says, I'm going to use people as my agents. I'm not going to come and do stuff here on earth unless they do it. I'm going back, I'm giving the Holy Spirit, and you will do it. And God gives us the power through prophecy to bind and loose things on earth that should happen. If we see that there's a stronghold over this town, guess who's going to break it? God. But who's he going to use as agents? It's me or you. And we've got the power to prohibit and release things. And it's important for us, you know, to, when we start praying, that we trust God, show us the stuff that's in this town. And the one thing I sensed here this morning was just, you know, it's this heaviness that wants to fall on us constantly. And there's such an anointing in the worship, but that thing hates what's happening here. So I need to tell it, and we need to tell it, I bind you. Because when people walk into this place, we need to take charge over that spirit, so that if they don't know God, that they hear the gospel and it penetrates, that conviction that I've been speaking, penetrates to the deepest of their hearts. But it's a place where we must take authority over this thing. We're not arrogant. It's not by us. But Jesus says, I give you the authority. You bind it. Amen. And it's amazing that if we come in agreement over these things, that we can start seeing God. And I'm really excited about what God's doing. And, you know, I don't know. Pastors are always excited about something. And there's always a promise and I'm really excited. I'm really excited now. I really think stuff is going to happen. Amen. Acts 9 verse 10 to 16. I'll just read through this quickly. Prophecy can also, you know, prophecy doesn't always come in the sense of that we speak prophetically. It can, in this case, it was a prophetic dream that God just gave direction. And it's once again, it's a time for us as a church, we're going to have to get divine direction on certain aspects and issues. There's no more time for us to guess. It's a guess we're going to go left. There's too much traps by the enemy. We can't guess. We'll guess ourselves into a minefield. And we'll need to stop guessing and hearing directly from God, go through here and do this. Amen? So we can trust God prophetically for divine direction in our church. Divine direction, let's say for instance in a small group, Lord, where do you want us to go to? Where do you want us to multiply to? Who's the next small group leader? Where are we planting our next small group? Divine direction. Not, I guess, I think, divine. Because once again, it's that principle of we can do stuff in the natural and it will take us 20 years. We can do it in the spiritual with the power of the Holy Spirit and it will be done in a few minutes. If we hear that. Amen. Everybody, you understand what I'm saying? Acts 9 verse 10 to 16. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he said, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight. And inquired the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind and will call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, this is just something I'm thinking of now, is if Ananias did not, somebody had to get a divine direction about Saul, because the guy was crazy. He was killing Christians, and it wasn't a natural thing, oh, that's the next apostle. No, that's not the next apostle if you look in the natural. Somewhere, somebody had to be switched on to the prophetic side, God's divine will, and see, oh, that's the prophet. Lord, have you seen what this man does? Ananias, that's the man. And God, there's just this principle, and Jankor, I must admit, taught me this. You know, that sometimes we look at somebody and we look at him, oh my word, this guy. You know, we'll pray for him, but I don't know if something's going to happen. But that might be the next Paul. You know, somebody might be the next Reinhard Bonnke here sitting here today. And if I look in the natural at what's happening in this man's life, I'm going to miss it. Because it's normally those wacko people that God makes these great, amazing people. So, amen for wackos. Amen for them. They must come in Jesus' name. They're the next Pauls. But we'll have to get divine direction. Amen. Ooh, you know. All right. Divine direction. Then. Now, this is a bit of a difficult one. I just need to. The power of perception. Daniel 11, verse 32. And by smooth words, he will turn to the godlessness, those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. The people who know their God will display strength and take action. What do I mean by this power of perception? All that I mean is if we can perceive, if we can know God's will in all situations, for now and the future, there is power in that. It cultivates a courage, a it cultivates power. There's something that walks with us if we have God's will. It is no longer a people of God that don't know where they're going and that are wondering what's the next step. It is somebody that knows God's will. It's somebody with authority that walks on this earth for a change and says, this is where we're going. Yes, the government's doing this, and I mean, is this voting thing sorted out? I don't think it's sorted out yet. But anyway, it's somebody that just says, this is the direction. And you know what? The world is looking for people like that. There are kids in school, you know, rife with sin, that are looking for some direction. Somebody that can perceive what God is saying. What is He saying at this time? Because if I look at the signs, it's bad. There's power in perceiving what God's will is. Amen? Okay, I'm going to tell you another story about this. David Wilkerson. Mark that book. It's helping me. But at first, this guy now, he was challenged to go into the ghettos, into the gangs. At first, I mean, it was something that he heard and he was hoping it's from God. You know, at first he was uncomfortable. He was not sure of what he was doing. But as God started doing the one miracle after the other, the man gained confidence. He would walk in there, he would speak to all the gang leaders. It's because he could see God working in his life. He could see the will of God in future. He could see God is doing what He said He will be doing. And there is so much boldness that comes with that. Amen? I hear so many times, and I mean, we don't always know exactly what God wants from us. But Christians saying, I don't know where God wants me and what He wants me to do next. Then you hear somebody that God has spoken to me. This is what I must do. There's such a big difference between those people. The one just goes and he just gets all obstacles of the devil out of his way because he's seen where he needs to go to. And the other one needs direction constantly. What I'm saying is God really wants us to get to a place where we can perceive His will, and in that there is so much power. Where we walk, we have authority. You know, that if we go into some place and we pray and we put our foot down here, it's not like we're guessing, is God going to give us this place? No, He said He's going to give it to us. We take it. Amen. Just Ezekiel 3 verse 17. And this is what, you know, I preached about this whole watchman thing. But a watchman is, in the old days, he was somebody that would stand there at the top of the castle and he would see danger coming. So he could alert everybody else here what's happening. So he was the main man. If you're asleep, you know, the people are going to suffer. Ezekiel 3 verse 17. Son of man, I've appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. Amen. Did you get that one? The power of, if we can know God's heart is part of it. Then prophecy also imparts courage. It goes hand in hand with that edification. 1 Samuel 10, verse 6, 8 and 9. Just another little story. Apparently in China, I don't know when it was and how it was, but that when they're probably still very underground, the church there, is that they wouldn't, because the church had to be underground, some churches, they didn't say where the next service was. You had to hear from the Holy Spirit where the next service is. Then you go there. So if you don't end up there, you've heard wrong. That's quite a challenge to me. Maybe we'll do that next week. But I'll be in the privileged position because it'll just be where I am. I wouldn't have to hear too much. But you know, that's quite radical perception, radical knowing God's will. But, and we're not in that, we're not in a country like that, but that's amazing. You know, they had power in that. They could hear God's will, and even on stuff like that. So that's quite a challenge. I don't know if I can perceive or hear God's will that much. 1 Samuel 10 verse 6, 8 and 9. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you will show yourself to be a prophet with him, and you will be turned into another man. When these signs meet you, do whatever you find to be done, for God is with you. And when Saul had turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all these signs came to pass that day. and you will be turned into another man. All I want to say there is that with becoming an agent of God, we're always afraid of it. We're always afraid that, okay, will God use me? And if He uses me, am I going to look weird? But I can just tell you, and I'm not the only one that can tell you, that this, it is so encouraging to be used by God. It is so encouraging to step out of that place. I remember Pastor Fred said it so many years ago. I didn't catch it then. I'm catching it now, many years ago. Is that we can decide, yes, we get saved, and God, we will go to heaven, and that's great, but somewhere God will, I don't know if the word is challenge, because people are so afraid of this word, but He will ask you, okay, are you going to go further with me? Are you going to now, you know now what my love is, and you've experienced it, and I still love you, but are you going to, do you want to go deeper? Do you want to be used by me? And that's, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a threshold there, because, and it was in my life also a threshold, because I just wanted to know that God loves me, and now I know that He loves me, but the challenge is, Theo, do you want to walk with me? Do you want me to work through you? And it's a bit of a scary thing, because it means giving over some control. But what is amazing is that if God does work through one, that spiritual encouragement, that boldness that just boils, I think that's boiling, it just bubbles up in you, that there's nothing that can replace that. By sitting and not getting involved with God's work, not doing what He's telling us, you can't get that. Faith without works is dead, the scripture says. So I just want to, you know, encourage you that be excited to be used by God. What He's going to do in your life, that connection that you can have with God, that knowing that God speaks to you and things happen, it's amazing. You will become another man like that scripture says. Amen. All right. I'm getting to my last few scriptures here. Jeremiah 1, verse 9 to 10. I don't know if you saw that first slide. I wanted to put it up. It was a very, not on the scripture, don't worry. But it was in Stellenbosch, somebody that did the ministry training program. He works on a farm also, I think. And one morning, they were challenged by the training program to say that at the end of this week or whatever, we want you to say what God has called you to prophesy, or, you know, what's the prophetic word that you get from God? And I think, you know, I can't remember everything now, but what he said was, God challenged him that he wanted to see God's work through him. Wanted to see God work through him. He wanted to see God's glory shine and fall on, you know, God being with him. And on the farm, somebody fell under a truck and the kid or whatever died. And they were rushing there. And he was there, and he realized that, you know, this is now the time. Now I must pray. But what's so amazing, when he prayed for the child, if you read his testimony, is that he didn't panic, did not beg God, raise this man from the dead, please, Jesus. He prayed for him. And the kid was raised from the dead. He was dead, and he's alive now. Now, this is what the prophetic ushers in, is to engage God's glory. It's for us, or to earth, to engage in His glory. God is really, God's heart is really to manifest Himself in those ways. He wants people to get healed and saved. If we start becoming prophetic, trust God for this, we can be the conduit of God's glory. We cannot manufacture God's glory, and we're not worth to be talking too much about God's glory. I'm just saying that we can be the agents that unlock this. Jeremiah 1 verse 19. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day appointed you to the oversight of nations and of the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Isaiah 45 verse 1 and 3. Thus saith the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of the king, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through the iron bars. Verse 3. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places so that you may know why. Why all of this? So that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who called you by your name. We started this year off with saying that God wants to, there's a time of God's glory to be seen on earth. God wants to shower. God wants to rain His glory on mankind. One of the keys, not all of the keys, is we can usher it in by the prophetic. By speaking into somebody's life, or into a marriage, we can have this. More than that, throughout Scripture, if you look at Scripture, the prophets dictated history. If it wasn't for a certain prophet saying something at some time, it would have gone pear-shaped from there on. The church and the whole world is waiting for the church to take up this, and I almost need to get away from this word prophetic because everybody's going to think I'm hit over the head with this prophetic, but is to take up this mandate where we are the conduit, where we are the entity, where God's will for this earth, for people's lives, is spoken, is declared, is proclaimed. There is nothing else on earth except the entity as a church that actually has the mandate to fulfill this. Are you with me? Where we're the ones that should be telling the world where we're going to. We're the ones that, like I said, dictate the spiritual direction, or we don't dictate it, but we must take ownership of it and then dictate it. The spiritual direction of this country, nation, town, families, small groups, church. My life, my wife's life, my kid's life. You can pull it through. Amen. Carol, can you come play for us? We're almost finished. I'll just read this last passage. Mark 11, verse 12 to 14. On the next day when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if it perhaps would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat from you again." And his disciples were listening. Verse 20. And they were passing by in the morning. They saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him." Verse 24, "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you." There, verse 23, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, it will be granted to him." There are some mountains in personal lives, in wherever we are, and Scripture says we don't beg them to move. We don't ask God, please, or we don't negotiate with the mountain. Are you going to go or are you going to stay? The mountain is in the way of somebody coming to Jesus Christ, of somebody experiencing healing. The mountain must be told by somebody to move. And we have that authority from God. God has chosen us to say to certain mountains, move. Not ask it to move. Please, Lord, bless the marriages in Swakop. Can you see in what state they are? No. Bless the marriages in Swakop, meaning this curse must move. Heidi and I were speaking yesterday. You know, if they look at the lineage of pastors and the lineage of, or let's say just godly people, and the lineage of people that are like thieves and stuff like that, you know. It's quite a, there's normally, there's a history of things happening. There's a history of godly people, son, father, grandfather. And you can look at the other side, son, father, grandfather, all thieves and stuff. Now what do I, what am I saying by this? Somewhere, and if you could do Foundation 3, somebody in that bad situation that gets saved must say, this stops in my life. This stops in our lineage. I'm speaking it into being. This is not continuing anymore. Who's going to stop it? Nobody but you. You that have received it from God. You speak it into being. You declare it's not going any further. It's stopping here. That's just an example of, you know, stuff that happens in family. Somebody here that has no... you're the only one saved in a family. It's time to speak to those things in the heavenly realms and say, it stops here. You know, speak that salvation over people. I wasn't going to say this. I don't know why I'm saying it. But sometimes we speak into things. Amen. Can we stand? Let's pray. There's so many things that we can speak into. So many things that God wants us to prophesy to so that His glory can be engaged. And I just want to pray for us this morning. We're going to pray for people again here. It's more or less the same message in the last week. But that God will really give us the boldness, you know, not the arrogance, but the boldness to see who we are in Christ so that we can speak into these things. And I can't be the only one speaking. And that's not what I'm trying to say. We must all hear from God what He's saying. And when we step into a situation, you know, it can be such an ungodly household or whatever. You don't have to scare the people away, but you walk into that house and you say, in Jesus' name, I take authority over this mess. Because nobody else is going to do it. We come across so many broken people in our lives. It's time for us to take charge over those situations. And that's why the devil hates it when we come together like this. And he wants to flood us with these depression thoughts and this heaviness. It's because he doesn't like what we're doing. Lord, this morning we just come to you and we ask that you will use us. Father, we hear somebody was raised from the dead and we say hallelujah. Amen. Your glory is starting to rain down. And Father, we want to be out of the way. We don't want to be in the way when your glory needs to fall. So Father, work through us. Sort out the stuff in our lives. Get it out of. If there's arrogance or pride, take it out. Please, Lord. We want to see your glory fall. We want to see your glory fall here amongst us. Father, give us your heart. Give us your heartbeat. Give us your heartbeat. I pray in Jesus' name that you will captivate some of us by your heartbeat. Because we're so distracted by all kinds of other things, but we don't feel what you're feeling. We want to feel what you feel. When we see somebody in a broken marriage, sometimes we feel nothing. We repent in Jesus' name. We want to feel what you feel. And Father, then give us the ability, give us the spiritual insight to speak into that situation, to speak life into it in Jesus' name. Lord, we just want to come and bow ourselves and humble ourselves before you because we're not worthy. Please cleanse us by the blood of Jesus Christ so that your glory can operate through us. I pray for each and everyone here, Lord, that you will, if somebody's struggling with a habitual sin in their lives. In Jesus' name, help us to get rid of those things, to set it aside. Holy Spirit, come and remove those things from our lives. Everything that distracts us from your glory and from your purpose and your destiny for our lives, we repent. Take it away, please, Lord. We're not worthy. We worship you. We say thank you for who you are. Thank you for Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us and making all spiritual blessings available to us. And Lord, we want to be a spiritual blessing to this town. We want to be a spiritual blessing where we go. Father, we want to claim that if we go out here, where our foot treads, we claim that property for Jesus' name. Father, thank you that we are starting to ruffle the feathers of the enemy in Jesus' name. And help us, guide us. We put on the armor of God here this morning. And we say we take up this challenge to go and fight for God. To go and declare. To go and proclaim and to go and take this nation and this town for you in Jesus' name. But Father, we need your Holy Spirit to come and do this. We've got nice programs, but if the programs are not filled with your Holy Spirit, people's lives don't change. Please come and change. Please, Holy Spirit, fall on us. We repent of not being, of quenching your Holy Spirit. of not listening, not being sensitive to Him. And He's sensitive. We want to be sensitive. We're sorry. We repent. We ask for Your forgiveness. We ask to come and dwell amongst us, Holy Spirit. I just want to ask you this morning, if there's anybody that has not, two kinds of people here, if you want us to once again prophesy into your life, just speak God's blessing of your life, then we want, like, I'd like you to come forward now. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. If you want us to prophesy into your life, quickly come forward. We're going to pray for you. And then there's another group. If you don't have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never accepted Him, can I ask a lady to come and help me pray? Yeah? Hilu, can you come help me? If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I'm not scaring people by telling them the frequency of all this stuff is happening, but Jesus is coming back, but Jesus loves you. If you don't experience that love, if you've gone through a religious experience of, you know, what God is, He's this God of rules. I want to say that there is life in Jesus Christ. Can we just bow our heads? If there's anybody that wants to receive Jesus Christ for the very first time, we just want to bless you with that. Is there anybody? Would you raise your hand quickly? If you don't know Jesus Christ, is there anybody that wants to receive Jesus? Amen. I'm just going to close off in prayer now, but then if you want us to pray for you, anything, you want us to pray for healing here this morning. You know, God is challenging me also. We must pray for healings. We're so scared to call people in front here and say, we're going to pray for your cancer or whatever, because we're afraid God's going to fail us. God is challenging me. We pray for healings. We don't heal. Jesus does. So if there's anybody that needs healing in any way, I'm going to close off in prayer now, but then if you want prayer, just come forward. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that there's so much joy in your presence. And we're not going to go out here with sour faces. We love you, Jesus, and we know that you love us. And thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want prayer, just come forward. We're going to pray for you.